Tonight on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the spirit of a missing child show itself as a spirit in hopes of his case being solved?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our show, well, please become a supporter, an extra podcast person, as we call them. An EPP, ghostpodcast.com, is where you sign up to do that. Or through our Patreon page, Real Ghost Stories Online. Just search it on Patreon or the direct address, patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show. It's all commercial free. And you can literally listen to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
You know, anyone who knows me knows that my favorite time of year is autumn, and Halloween's my favorite holiday. And so I went out Sunday, just had to get out of the house. It was so nice outside. And I thought, you know, some of the stores are starting to get their Halloween stuff in.
Yeah.
And every year I try and add a couple of things. So I went, found some stuff I really liked. And then that just snowballed at home to me actually getting the big tubs out of all the Halloween stuff and starting to sort through it. A couple things already this past weekend got put up. So I know it's early, but I'm just in the mood for it. I'm ready for summer to be done. I'm ready for the change of seasons.
I actually put, I didn't do the Halloween stuff, but I did the autumn stuff. I put that up, I think it was the last week of July. Yes. When I did it. So I beat you by a month. But now we're when we're into September here, I'll be putting up the Halloween stuff as well. So some of the skulls and that, the creepy stuff is going to be added in. And then I got to get ready to do the outside. Now, do you have anything planned for the outside this year? Do you do much on the outside?
I don't. My yard in front is not that, because I'm in town and everything. Sure. I do something in my porch and that's about it. But most of my stuff is inside. And most of my stuff, I don't really differentiate too much between the Halloween and fall. I've got a few Halloween things, but pretty much everything else can pretty much stay up all season.
Yeah.
But I know, listen, I know, like, you're the king. You are the Clark Griswold of Halloween.
Every year it gets a little bit bigger and better. This year I have, I ordered through Etsy, somebody who makes gravestones out of foam. Oh. But they look super real. They're 10 times better than the ones you'd get at like Lowe's or something. And so I invested in some of those this year. So I'm going to add that to my graveyard scene. And I last year I did this projector thing where you can kind of make the ghost be out there in the yard. I don't know if I'm going to do that this year or how I'm going to do it, because it didn't really work the greatest last year and the netting kind of got ripped up. So I don't know. I think probably more, one of the things I liked last year was I had a couple extra skeletons. So what I did was I just went down like by the creek and got some, big branches that had fallen and jammed those into the ground. And then it looked like I had skeletons all over my yard on spears. So it was really kind of creepy. I have seen some things where people take the plastic skeletons and they kind of bloody them up. I think that people use, I don't know if they use paper mache. They do something so it looks like there's, you know, kind of guts and skin kind of hanging off of the skeletons. Yeah. So I might up that a little bit too. Really scare the kids when Harper gets on the bus in the morning, because the bus stops.
How do you feel about like those big blow up things of the pumpkin or the monster outside? What do you feel about those things? The ones that, you know,
I'm not a fan. They're too cartoony. I mean, they're you know, cute. Yeah. I guess, but I want the feeling of there's an actual graveyard here and the dead are rising out of my yard. That's always there been the go. Goal. And there's no dead rising out of the yard when there's a big cute pumpkin, you know, blowing in the wind. Like, no, it's not spooky. You?
Good, good. I'm glad that we're still on the same page there, Clark. So.
So, and the tree is probably going to go up too in the next week or two. And it is the Christmas tree, but we do it for fall first. And then once Thanksgiving's done, then you take all the fall stuff off and then put the Christmas stuff up.
I really like that idea. I might actually go that route this year.
It's fun, you know, because you just go get the stuff from Hobby Lobby or whatever, and then you put it on there, and it fits, and it's fun, and it kind of extends the season. Otherwise, it feels like the tree is just up, and then it's gone, and it always felt like it's too short of a period of time. So
yeah,
I extend it like a whole quarter. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, or Living with Tony and Todd.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Let's go over to our first story today. It says, "Hi, Tony. My name is Angela, and I'm writing from mid-Michigan. I've shared some stories on Real Ghost Stories online about my ghosts, about the ghosts my kids have seen in our house. The man who frightened my son when he was little until he said his Uncle Mike comes to visit him at night and talks to him in his bed. We believe it was my late dad, who my brother Mike really looks like. My dad passed away almost exactly a year before my son was born. The man, or as my daughter called him, the businessman, because he wears a hat, has still been seen peeking in my daughter's room. Recently, one of her childhood friends could see her peek in the room over my daughter's shoulder from the hall. And I told the story of the little girl who was my son's imaginary friend that we have seen and heard for years. We recently caught her on film. My nephew is a director of the Unwelcoming House series and caught the apparition in my daughter's doorway. You can see that in the second film. But this story is about the one time my daughter saw a ghost that didn't live in our house when she was alone in her room. This happened about 10 years ago when she was very young. There was a news story about a boy in our local news. He went missing at a campground 4th of July weekend. Remember this because the news reported he had autism, and so does my son. My daughter was too young to watch the news and did not have a TV upstairs in her room. This is one of those stories you don't like to share with your kids. So there really wasn't any way she could have known about the little boy who was missing or what he looked like. I remember thinking the second time I had watched an update about the boy, I didn't feel like he had made it, and now they just needed to find his body. I was so sad for his family. The next day, my daughter came downstairs from being upstairs in her room alone playing and said, "Mom, there's a little boy in my room." I could tell that she was shook and didn't think she'd believe her. But right away, I thought about the little boy in the news. So I asked her, what did he look like? The news had shown his picture. He was a black child with very short hair, and his hair receded very far back. He was about 4 years younger than my daughter, and they reported that he was wearing a red and blue striped shirt and dark navy shorts. My daughter described the boy that also came up to her shoulder. Also, she said he's a black little boy, and he looks bald and has a red and blue striped shirt and black shorts. I told her, don't be afraid. He probably knew that she could see him and just needed someone to see him. Later that evening, they found the boy's body in the lake in the campground that he went missing from. She never saw him again. Thanks for sharing my stories. I'll share my haunted Bay City stories sometimes. I have a lifetime of stories to tell and love to hear everyone else's. Also, I enjoy Harper on the show now, too. Thanks again. Well, that's very disturbing and creepy where your child has the interaction with a child that ended up dying that very same night.
Right. And then you have that connection. And I think we've talked a little bit about autism on the show on this one, or maybe I've discussed it on another one, where I have this thinking that people with autism tend to be more open to things happening to them from this kind of perspective. And I wonder if this child who had passed knew that this little girl had a connection to autism in some way, shape, or form and felt comfortable coming to her, you know?
Sure. I could see that. I mean, I think sometimes it's a sensitivity thing. And I think,
right.
I mean, a lot of people with that, they have heightened senses on almost everything. So it would make sense then if there's this other sense out there that a lot of us don't really have, or it's very low, that it would be much more heightened with individuals who have autism. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And the fact that she was able, the child was able to basically describe the child who had passed away almost to a T is kind of freaky too.
Now, in my world as a child, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to not know what the child looked like because it would have been on television and my mom would have been talking about it and warning me about don't go this there, don't go here. And for good reason, we had a lot of disappearances in our town when I was a kid. I remember.
Did you have anything to do with that by any chance?
I was a little kid. I mean, no, I mean, I was eight. So, well, you know, little Tony can get into a lot of shit, but not quite that. But no, I remember. And the thing is, a lot of them like really, and I'm not saying that to like rip on my mom. Like it was like, there was kind of some weird connections to some of them where one of them was, she was in her 20s, I believe. It was Lori Deppis. She was like, she was a waitress over at a place called the Scenario, and remember Scenario?
Yeah.
On the other end of Maine. And she would always be our waitress there. We'd go in there all the time because I think my mom won free dinner certificates from you on the radio.
Right, right.
And I'm not even kidding about that connection. But but I remember her, you know, vividly. And then she went missing from the mall, right? I think,
yeah, they found her vehicle there or something like that. And I don't think that's ever been solved all these years later.
It hasn't. And at the time, my mom was working in the catalog department at JCPenney, and she'd have to get out and, you know, walk into the parking lot at, you know, 9-10 o'clock at night. And this just happened. And it really wreaked havoc with my anxiety as a kid. And then there was another girl that went missing. She was a child, though. I forgot what her name was. She was out riding her bike in the country, something I do all or did all the time. And she went missing. There was just like a slew of them back to back.
Do you think that we were just, as a whole, we were desensitized to that because when it happened, it was kind of a big deal. Now it seems like that kind of stuff just happens all the time and we're kind of desensitized to it now?
I think so. We were not in a 24-hour news cycle. We were in a fairly it wasn't a big city. It wasn't a super small town. It was just kind of your, you know, middle-sized town. But anything that happens like that, you know, that was the big news. There wasn't going to be 50 other stories that day that were being sensationalized. And where we came from, I mean, talk about, you know, rumor mill land. I mean, that's all people do there. It's like, I heard this, I heard that, and then it just kind of spirals out of control. I look back on some of those things as almost kind of traumatizing to me as a kid.
A little bit, and if you remember, you weren't around when it happened, but in the early 70s in that area, a little girl went missing and was found murdered on Halloween.
Yes.
And so never again did Halloween happen on Halloween night. It was always in the afternoon, and laws changed in that area and in surrounding areas because of that incident. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Some things were kind of freaky there.
You know, it's funny because my mom was, I've heard that story 1,000 times too, because she was hanging out at a girlfriend's house the night that happened, and the girl that went missing was literally down the road. So she was a teenager when this happened, but I got that story too as a kid. And like, you know, you hear it like, oh, that's horrible. And then you realize, oh my God, this is like the plot for Halloween, the movie.
Very, very, actually it was very, very close to that. You're right.
And it's like, oh shit. So like some of those things that people go, ooh, what if there was a legend like this in your town? Oh, there was. It was fucking real. It was just facts. It was documented news stories. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if all that weirdness contributed to the interest in the paranormal and this sort of stuff. But yeah, it was, it's like, remember that show Eerie Indiana a long time ago?
Yeah, that's a good show.
It was, I would say, Fond du Lac was somewhat reminiscent of Erie.
A little bit.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey, my name is Sean. I live in Manitoba, Canada, in a rural town. This event took place in 2019 of April. I had been on leave due to a situation that happened with work and was off for a year and had gone for lots of therapy to get back to the old me. I should say, practicing solitary witch Wiccan. I don't belong to any coven. It's just me. While being off, I did a lot of meditating, chakra cleansing, smudging. I even picked and made my own smudge sticks. I started to wonder and think about spirit guides or spirit animals. I thought to myself, how am I going to recognize what animal or spirit guide is going to present itself? How am I going to know? I did ask the universe to give me a sign. something. I would stand out. One evening, I had let the dogs out in a fenced area to go potty, as I like to call it. I looked over at the neighbors across the street and noticed a Canada goose walking all by itself, just sauntering, not scared, not running from anything or anyone. Just thought, huh, that's cool. And it starts making its way across the street into my yard. I thought, holy shit, this is awesome. It keeps walking towards the fence. I'm standing here right now. I know it sees me. I couldn't believe it. The only thing it separates us is a chain link fence. If I would have opened the gate, it would have walked right in on in. I knew not to mess with a wild animal, although I really wanted to open the gate. I believe it was male. Didn't matter. It was beautiful. He would tilt his head sideways and look at me, not scared, nothing. I talked to it, make chatter sounds. I gave it some water and birdseed. He wasn't interested. I'd walk back and forth and he would walk with me. I could hear his mate every once in a while and he would call back to her as if to say, yeah, I'm here and it's okay. It was getting dark and I tried to get him to go, but he wouldn't. I got inside for a moment and when I came back out, he was gone. My heart sank. I was crushed. I didn't get to say goodbye. Later that evening, I was in my sunroom and started thinking, was this a once-in-a-lifetime event? Was that my spirit animal? I did ask the universe for a noticeable sign, and you cannot get any more noticeable than that. I must say I was shocked and overjoyed at the same time. I could not believe that just happened. Maybe the universe did hear me. I like to think it did. I also like to believe that my spirit animal is a goose. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are. I still have the pictures on my phone, and we'll send them to you if you want. My email is enclosed. Take care and stay safe. I don't know. I mean, geese can be interesting. Sometimes they can be super interested in you, and sometimes I just want to stay the hell away. So I don't know.
Or come after you and attack you, depending on how close you are to their nest and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever delved into like spirit animals and spirit guides and all that kind of stuff?
Like spirit guides when it comes to like deceased loved ones or things like that. I've heard of it. I've never really delved much into it with animals or anything like that, though.
I know somebody recently, my memory is just shot when it comes to anything that happened in the last, you know, several years of my life, but I know somebody brought up what my spirit animal is and I can't remember what it was, whether it was a dog or I don't know, but apparently we have spirit animals too. And I guess truthfully, when you take the Native American traditions and beliefs and you kind of look into that, you know, they believed a lot of those kinds of things. And I know that transpires also in Wicca and witchcraft and all that. I find it very, very interesting. And again, my mind is always open to things that I can't comprehend at all. So that really interests me. And I think it's interesting that a Canadian goose ended up being, you know, his spirit animal.
How do you, I mean, what is the spirit animal, like something that's always with you? Is it something that is like a deceased? I'm guessing he never had a Canadian goose as a pet, you know, but I was going to ask, is it like a deceased pet or is it just kind of something that's there?
You know, here's the thing. I don't know enough about it to speak clearly on it, but my understanding would be like if you look at the zodiac and you kind of consider yourself to be an Aquarius or a Cancer or something like that, there are certain traits that go with that sign. And I think with certain animals, there are traits that go along with that. And a spirit guide isn't necessarily what we think of as spirits. It's not ghosts or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's the spirit of the animal that helps guide your intuition and guide you through life.
Oh, okay. Okay, I never looked at it that way. That's interesting.
So this guy probably gets in a car, you know, late in fall and drives south. And then, you know, when summer's over, drives back up north.
And squawks the whole way.
Exactly. In a V form with other bird-like people.
On the highway, they're like, this fucking caravan of cars is in a V form. What is that noise? There you go.
But that's my belief of it. I think it's just the spirit of the animal, how they live and react in nature is kind of put inside you.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that one. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another letter. It says, hello, big fan of your show. I have a lot of experiences, and it's great hearing other people's stories, so I know I'm not crazy. One experience that happened about a year ago sticks out as very different from my other experiences, and I'd like to share it. Maybe you can help me understand it better. The first experience I had in my current house took place over the span of a week. At the time, I had two dogs. One night while I was getting ready for bed by brushing my teeth and washing my face in the bathroom, I saw my husky run out of my bedroom and heard her run through the kitchen and down the basement stairs. I went to the kitchen and called into the basement for her to come to bed, but I could hear her running back and forth in the basement, so I decided to leave the door open for her and go to bed. When I got into my bedroom doorway, I saw my husky asleep on my bed and my boxer asleep on the dog bed. A couple of nights later, the same thing happened, except this time it was my boxer who I saw running into the kitchen and could hear running down the wooden basement stairs. This time, I just walked over to my bedroom door, and sure enough, they were both sleeping exactly as they had been on the previous occasion. A few days later, I was cleaning my basement, just sorting through boxes and doing some spring cleaning. I knew that both of my dogs were upstairs, and the basement stairs are wooden, and both dogs always make a lot of noise coming down the stairs. I spend a lot of time in my basement because I have an in-home gym, which is down there. Typically, my husky follows me everywhere. I call her Shadow as a nickname because she is constantly by my side. On this occasion, she chose not to come down with me. After I've been working for about half an hour, I could feel a presence behind me, and then I heard a dog panting. I turned my head and could see a black dog, much larger than the husky and boxer. The best way I could describe the dog would be the Grimm from Harry Potter. The dog was approximately 5 feet behind me, sitting on the floor just watching me and panting. I was startled by this, but the presence did not feel threatening at all. So I decided to turn around and keep working. I then heard the dog get up and walk away. I've not seen the spirit since, nor have I been greeted by my dog's doppelgangers. This was my first encounter with what I assume was an animal spirit, and I felt more disturbed by the collective incidents after the fact than I had when it was occurring. If any theories as to what may have caused this, I'd love to hear them. I didn't plan two animal stories back to back, but there you go. That's how the show works.
Wow. First of all, bravo for having the guts to go down in your basement after, you know, having spirit dogs running down in your basement. I'm sorry, but any basement is spooky enough to me. Mm-hmm. I don't, if I had an experience like that, I don't think I'd be going downstairs to get, start going through boxes. So hats off to that individual for that. Something was trying to get her attention. And I guess my first thought process is maybe the energies of her dogs knew something was going on down there. And so she was hearing them pace and maybe guard the area downstairs. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, he seems right about the fact that, some sort of spirit, a spirit of an animal actually came to her for some unknown reason. Who knows? Maybe it was her spirit animal. I don't know, you know?
You know, another thing I wonder about, and we've talked about this with people quite a bit, is, you know, the living haunting the living with their own energy. Yep. Could animals do the same thing unbeknownst to themselves? You know, could that dog be upstairs thinking about, you know, wanting to be down there, and somehow that energy projects itself over there the same way that we've seen it with humans?
We've seen, I mean, you know, dogs, and I know dogs, and, mm-hmm. and people understand how wound up they can be about stuff.
Yeah.
Who's to say that leftover energy wasn't somehow involved with that animal? I think it's outstanding. And I keep going back to the fact that you would not find me in that basement alone cleaning out boxes anytime after those events took place. And I've heard a lot of stuff. The basement would not be a place that I would hang out.
What could possibly go wrong in a basement?
That's right. Clean out a couple of boxes tonight and see what happens.
Creepiest basement I've ever been in was one in Wichita. It wasn't a residential, but it was a bar club type setting. And I was there with a paranormal group, and I was just trying to see what it was like to be part of this group for this one time. And they said, okay, you can go anywhere you want in the building. And I knew the history of the building, and there had been, like, the previous owners had literally murdered people in the basement of this club. Oh. Like several. And I mean, this is documented news story. It wasn't like hearsay. It was this really happened. And they found the bodies, and they were like dismembered. I mean, it was like horror movie shit. And I'm like, I got to see this basement. So I did go down there by myself. We just kind of did see it. And there was just a basement, bricked basement. I don't know. Nothing really stood out as being, you know, typically creepy, but just, I think knowing that information really gave it a weird energy. I almost wish that I had not heard that story, so I could have gone down there and seen if I did kind of feel anything without having knowledge of the incident.
Yeah, sometimes you're almost better off going into it not knowing anything and then finding out and trying to put the pieces together. The oddest basement I was ever in, also not a residential, but actually the basement of a theater in Milwaukee, which sits very close to the river. And so there is actually running water in the basement of the river, which, as you know, to anybody who's ever heard a ghost story or watched a ghost hunting show, running water feeds the energy that these spirits need to, you know, come to fruition in front of you and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was so creepy. Like a theater, why would you need running water going through the basement? I don't know. But the whole philosophy after walking out of that building after an entire night of investigation was, oh, and having a member of the team, by the way, get partially possessed, is that it felt like the water was a conduit to energies coming and going, almost like it was a bus station or a train station for these energies. So creepy, creepy, creepy.
Yeah, very, very much so. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a call. Hi.
Hi, Brewskies. Elle here, sending another story. I think we could probably file this one in paranormal, not so much ghosts. I want to preface my story by saying that in my family, we have a lot of dreams. My mom and aunts have them, and they're occasionally predictive, and sometimes they do reveal things. My dreams are often super vivid, and like a story I wrote in before, sometimes the dreams I have seem to cross over into reality. I wrote in previously about a spirit-filled family reunion that happened in the corner of my bedroom while I was sleeping. This story took place when I was about 10 years old. I had a really odd dream. It was foggy and dark, kind of like looking through a sheer black curtain. In the dream, I was walking around the backyard of my family home. I could tell from my point of view in the dream that I was small, maybe only a couple feet tall. I was exploring, looking around. Eventually, I went underneath our trampoline, and I started to dig a hole. In my dream, I knew I was looking for something, but I was not sure what it was. Suddenly, though, I got excited, and I caught something. It was small, like a tailless rat, but with a weird, nubby nose. It was a mole, and I had it in my mouth. I could feel it wiggling to try to get away from me, and it was a little gross. Then I woke up, and while I have very vivid dreams and a pretty active dream life, this one was not like any other dream that I've ever had. And the feeling of the mole in my mouth actually made me pretty sick upon reflection. It was really gross. That's what stuck with me. But I went downstairs and approached my mom in the kitchen. And I was like, Mom, I had a weird dream. I dug a hole under the trampoline and I caught a mole. She looked at me funny, like she was processing something. And then she asked me, have you been downstairs? In kind of like an expectant way. And I was a little bit confused. And I said, no, I just woke up. I came down. And she sort of tilted her head and said, okay, I need to show you something. And she led me to the sliding glass door that opened into our backyard. And laying on the mat was the crumpled body of a small rodent with a nubby little nose. It was dead. It was a mole. And my dog Lucky came racing up to the door, and she was covered in dirt and was pawing at the mole, looking up at us for approval, like, look what I did. And I was staring at it in shock as my mom opened the glass door, stepped over it, and then she went directly for the trampoline. And I ran after her. When she got there, she looked underneath, and I ran up, and I got underneath the canopy of the trampoline with the dog, looking for further confirmation of what seemed to be happening. And right in the middle of the canopy of the trampoline was a large hole that had clearly been recently dug. We were both pretty shocked. And I remember my mom telling me that Lucky and I must be connected. And being 10 years old, I couldn't think of anything I would want more than to be psychically connected to my dog. In fact, as an even younger kid, I'd spent hours playing with Lucky with my forehead pressed into hers, hoping that I could somehow read her mind. I would look into her eyes and beg her to speak to me. She obviously never did, but I'm so glad that her and I got to share this weird little experience. So anyway, that's my story. And thanks for what you guys do. It's so fun to listen to your stories. And Harper, I love to hear you on the podcast. So thanks for your time, guys. Have a good day.
It's kind of like the time that I had the dream that I was humping a tree. And then I woke up. And then I looked, there's my dog humping a tree out in the yard. I'm like, oh shit, I was psychically connected to my dog. I want to go back to that dream.
That never happened, did it?
No.
Holy crap, is this one crazy? And, you know, the first thing I thought was, well, maybe she was, there's a mole. Maybe she was astral planning and, traveling. Yeah. Or maybe she was sleepwalking and dug up a mole or something. But then to have the connection between the dog and the human, that is crazy. I love that. I've got to do some more research on that.
She literally was like experiencing what the dog was experiencing. That's just, I got to say, that's a new one. I don't think I've ever heard that one on this show, and that's rare.
Yeah, I've never heard a story like that. I've heard, you know, people who've had dreams and they've kind of lived somebody else's life, or they've lived as themselves in another life, but I've never heard them, you know, find themselves within the body of another living creature that wasn't human.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I really like that one. So there you go. Today, it ended up being all about animals, and that was just pure luck. So
I love it.
There you go. That's how our show tends to work. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I am Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Bye.